You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and each week, this show will address many ways of creating greater health, joy, and love for those you care about. And we will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you would all do me a big favor. Please forward at least one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from today's subject. And I guarantee you, everybody knows somebody who can benefit from today's subject. And this is also just a powerful way that we can make a positive difference together. Now, before we get to our guest, I want you all to know that I am truly grateful for all of you that take your precious time to listen to, or in some cases, watch this show, and especially those that send in questions, comments, reviews, and suggestions. Because remember, this show exists for you. Now, if you haven't gotten your free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal yet, please go to our website at answers.network and download a copy. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on, what focusing on gratitude has meant for you and your family. Now, a quote for today, although not from the journal, it articulates what one of our guests' book really does. And it just articulates just how beautifully written it is and how apropos it is for what we're going through right now. And it reads, "The desire factor is a testament to the success principles I've been living and teaching for more than 40 years. When we experience happiness or unhappiness, success or failure, it depends on what we ourselves believe we are deserving of, what we think about, talk about, feel strongly about, and act on. We attract into our lives." Now, in this book, my friend Christy Whitman lays out a reliable roadmap for how to do all of the above on purpose. And that is by Jack Canfield, co-author of the number one New York Times best-selling Chicken Soup for the Soul series and Success Principles. So if you haven't figured it out yet, our topic today is also the title of our guest's latest book, The Desire Factor, How to Embrace Your Materialistic Nature to Reclaim Your Full Spiritual Power. And I thought that was quite interesting. Our guest, Christy Whitman, is also a New York Times bestselling author, transformational leader, and author of another wonderful book, The Art of Having It All. She has appeared on the Today Show, The Morning Show, and her work has been featured in People Magazine, 17, Women's Day, Hollywood Life, and Teen Vogue, just to name a few. Christy is also the CEO and founder of the Quantum Success Coaching Academy, a 12-month Law of Attraction coaching certificate program. Now, Christy has helped thousands of people worldwide to achieve their goals through her empowerment seminars, speeches, coaching sessions, and her products. Christy's life-enhancing message reaches over 125,000 people per month, and her work has been promoted by and or featured with esteemed authors and luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Marcy Shimoff, Brian Tracy, and Louise Hay. Christy, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much, Alan. Looking forward to our conversation.
Well, I've been looking forward to this as well. In many cases, when I have somebody coming on the show, I have about a week to read that person's book, if they have a book in it like you do. In your case, I was reading one, and then as I kept going, I went, I want to know what else she's done. So then I went ahead and found another one that she did a few years ago, and I'm like, oh my God, this is great. So, yeah, for anybody out there, you know, these are the types of books that we promote here on the show, because these are the ones that tell you that you have the power, not these other things that are going on out there and stuff. You have the power to be able to bring so much greatness and so much value and prosperity into your life. But these are the types of books that we believe will help us get to that point. So So Christy, let me start a little bit with, because one of the things you refer to is fuel. And for a lot of us, you know, if we drive a car, we think of fuel. If we're going out to eat and we're thinking, okay, this is going to fuel us. But you speak about how desire is the fuel for every act of creation. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. So when we are aware that we desire something, whether it's I'm hungry, I want to go eat a meal, or mm-hmm. I desire to create a bigger house, or I decide that desire to start a family, or you know, to I'm tired of being alone, I want to create a partner. Any of those desires, before we have them, nothing new is created. Mm-hmm. But it's when we have that desire, we allow ourselves to flow with that desire, then movement happens, right? Energy flows mm-hmm. and we start acting on it. And that's what we then create. The other thing to understand, though, is that we're creating it with a alignment with energy, right? It's like we get mm-hmm. that spark. We feel that spark mm-hmm. of a desire. And as long as we're allowing it and flowing with it, that's when the desires manifest.
So what's the difference between a desire and a craving?
That's a very good question, because a craving a lot of times comes from a place of lack, like I'm missing something, I'm needing something, whereas a desire is like, it expands you from the place that you're at now, right? It gets you moving into a place of, I want more for myself. I want to create that, but I've got to create it so I'm loved or I'm approved of, is so that I fit in, or any of the lies that lack and limitation really give us. If you look at it, one of the laws that I talk about is the law of sufficiency and abundance. And if you look at it like a spectrum, on one side of the spectrum is lack, and lack mm-hmm. always feels bad. On the other side of the spectrum is abundance, and abundance always feels good. You were talking about gratitude. And when we really, not just even from a mindset place, but feel gratitude, that's the tipping point from lack into abundance. And so looking for positive aspects, you know, looking for things to appreciate and feel grateful for, that brings us into feeling good, which then aligns us. And that's where we get to co-create. We get to, you know, feel the juicy experience of being your own creator of your life. And that's what we're talking about. It's like, you know, things in the outer world may happen, but you get to still choose, because you have free will and choice. You still get to choose what you want your experience to be, what narrative you want to live into.
You know, we hear a lot of statistics about how much time we need to spend focusing on gratitude, or how much time we need to spend on focusing on positive things in our life to offset the bombardment that we get of negativity. I've heard, you know, you need 7, you need 10, you need, what do you believe that we need to offset? Because some of this we can't hide from, as far as the negativity, when it's on every news channel, when we have people, you know, sending us information on every social media platform or whatever, it's hard to get away from it. What do you think is the best, how much of it do we need, and what is the best way to combat that and stay in our, in our more positive self?
Well, I'd love to say it'd be great to be there 100% of the time where we're in our alignment with our great positive self. I mean, that's, you know, if there's a goal of that, that's the goal, right? But you're mm-hmm. right. We live in a world where, you know, kids have soccer games to go to, and, you know, we have to pay bills over here, and there's things that are happening in the world. But these are things that get our attention. And it's important to understand that when you are under, really what I teach about is what, when you understand you're an energy master, meaning that you have free will and choice to choose what you say, what you think, how you perceive something, how you feel about something, and then the actions that you take. That's all we have control over in this life. So mm-hmm. the words that we say, the thoughts that we think, the perspectives we have, the emotions, whether we process them, stuff them, eliminate from, you know, whatever we do with those, and then the actions that we take. And so it's really understanding that we can't ever control the outer world, but we could put ourselves in a place of, say, social media, get off of it for a while,
right.
Or, you know, the people that are doing political stuff that you don't feel good about, unfriend them, stop following them. I mean, we still have choice in what we're putting our attention on. I mean, even when we take the remote, you know, on our TV, we can say, I want to watch Netflix and I just want to watch movies. We're choosing that movie.
Right.
Right. And so it's really about us understanding. I'm very particular about the energy that is around me. And I'm very particular about the people that are around me. But yet I do my part to make sure that I'm connecting at least once a day, several times a day, to the energy that's breathing me, to the life that's beating your heart and mine, right? That energy, because that's where all pure, when our heart is open and we hear something, I'll give an example. When I heard about Afghanistan, when all that happened, my heart, I felt like my heart broken too. And I just got so angry. And all I could do was process the anger, process the feelings I was having, because that's energy, process that out, had compassion for myself because I didn't know how to help or what to do, and then sent compassion like that. Just, it's like a prayer, right? It's like an intention, sending that positive energy to everybody that's involved. I mean, every single person that's involved, and continuing to do that, that'll help me feel aligned. And I felt like I was doing, I'm able to do something, so that I'm taking negativity and putting energy towards positivity. When there's hurricanes and fires and things like this, right? It's like sending that energy, you know, connecting to that energy where Mother Earth is getting that love energy because she's screaming for, you know, for help in some certain cases. So it's when we can just even hear something and send energy to it. It could be having a conversation with your mom or dad or cousin or brother, and they're being really negative and you're like, oh, you know, sending energy to that conversation in that moment changes the energy.
That's a great point. You brought up Afghanistan. Our guest next week is the first female pilot from Afghanistan. And one of the things that, and my producer for this show is wonderful, and I am so grateful for her every day of my life, that she does the things that she does for this show and for people in general, because she's just an angel to begin with. But when all those things were happening and we were feeling so helpless about this, so she reached out and got someone that we could have that can come in and talk about something positive. And something positive is change. The fact that they have a female pilot now, you know, when that country was such that you would have never expected that. So to have somebody that can come in and give us some perspective that hopefully can, you know, can allow us to look at it a little bit differently and people not to be so angry or feel so helpless. Yeah. So yes, I agree with you, is that what we can do, you know, with our own energy or whatever resources we have to try to do something to make a positive difference, which is why I think you're so wonderful, because you're writing these books that are making such an incredible positive difference. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It's a calling, and I'm grateful I have this calling, and I'm grateful that the information comes through me, and it has for 20 years. And I'm every day, I'm just so grateful for it. But more importantly, I'm grateful I learned it.
Yes.
Because my life is so polar opposite, black and white, from what it used to be before I learned this, whereas I thought I was victim to everything and that everyone else was to blame. And no matter how hard, I mean, we all have those stories, because we all, God love them, had parents, lived in a society and grandparents, and, you know, that literally came from the Great Depression and came from where there wasn't enough.
Right.
And they learned that, and they learned how there really is lack. And it's been, you know, it's been passed down. Yes, they're in this world of polarity, on this 3D dimension. We have everything here. We have evidence of lack. We have evidence of the worst of the worst. And we have evidence of the best of the best. And it's where we tune into what we want our narrative to be, what energy we want to be, that creates our then world. And
exactly.
Yeah. And the more of us that can understand this, that Yeah, someone could say something to you that is rude or mean, right? Mm-hmm. And you can lash back, or say someone has an opinion. You know, that's another thing. People are so divisive right now. Someone might be vaccine. The other person might be, you know, unvaccine or unvaccinated, mm-hmm. or, you know, and you can have an understanding and listen to the other person by sending them respect and, you know, sending them like, okay, thanks for that perspective. And yet I'm going to have mine and I'm allowed to have my perspective. Right. So we're all free.
You're so right. And you literally are nailing, I think, what is the biggest problem or issue we have out there that I want people to understand is don't vote those people into office that are using divisiveness for their own benefit. Okay. You don't have to do what they tell you. If from the standpoint when they're telling you to hate somebody else, that for their benefit, not yours. In fact, it's just the opposite. It is at our expense. So I couldn't agree with you more, you know, that, you know, make your decisions. Don't let that happen. And an example, I get sent stuff from all sides and I don't want to turn this into a political show. That isn't what we're about, but getting things from both sides. And I just got something recently that was somebody that put a sign up in their door in their restaurant that said that, you know, if you support the current administration and the decisions that they've made and so on and so forth, don't come eat in my restaurant. and it went into a lot of other reasons why and stuff, but that's not the point here. Yeah. The point is that segregation. So I sent off an email, and being a detective, I was able to figure out how to get it to them. But I sent off an email to them saying, you know, I understand, you know, how you feel. But do you also understand that the best thing that you can do is to put a sign up that asks them to please come in and join you and have a conversation about it. Let's debate it. Let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation and stop buying into this thing of don't talk to the other side. Don't whatever you do, don't listen to anything they say. You know, that's not working. So anyway, I sent something off saying, please just do the opposite. Ask them to come in, ask them to listen, because if you just push them away, you're not helping the problem. You're actually contributing to it.
Well, anything that's based in lack, which again, it feels separate, competitive, that just feels slimy, sleazy, that just doesn't feel good. That's not following light. That's not following our divine design. I mean, we're here mm-hmm. to thrive and to feel good. And we're here to have loving and supportive relationships and to, you know, create and to have fun and to be abundant and well. Our bodies know exactly what to do to be in well-being and, you know, to be successful, to create our lives. And it's a lie that we have to, that we're out of control or that we have no control on our lives, because we cannot ever have our thoughts taken away from us. No one can tell us how to think, nor can we tell somebody else how to think. It's the only thing that we, how we think, what we speak, how we perceive, how we feel. And if someone is overreactive about something, it's like this. You know, the best description I can give is if you've ever had a sunburn, right? And mm-hmm. someone comes up to you and smacks you, you're like, oh, you know, yeah. Like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
They could come up to you and they're like, what's the big deal? I barely hit you. You're like, but I have a sunburn, right? If you didn't have a sunburn, they did the same thing, it wouldn't hurt. Well, when someone is having a overreaction to something, it's because there's a pain point there. There's a trauma point. There's a imprint. There's something that is rooted in lack and limitation that's been taught along the way, some kind of belief that just mm-hmm. doesn't feel good. And there's a reactivity to it. And that's the work, to just understand how to master your energy through that. You know, to ask yourself, is that a belief that's feels good and is empowering me? Is that what I want to continue to be? You know, is that the narrative I want? And if it's not the narrative that you want, it's kind of like, you know, those dating apps. I've never been on them because I've been married, you know, for 15 years. But the dating apps where like you swipe, right? If you don't like, right? So it's like, if you don't like the narrative that your mind is thinking, you just go, stop, wait, no, that's not my narrative. Swipe, you know, and they think about what you do want.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I love your analogy. And as I was visualizing it, and I was thinking, okay, so if somebody is, you're not at the beach and somebody's wearing clothes, one of the things is that you may not know that that person has that sunburn until you actually hit that trigger point.
Yeah.
You know, until you do that. And so I think if they would look at it the same way with these divisive things that are going about, it's raising everybody up to this level of sunburn so yeah. that the slightest touch now seems to bother them. So again, I think we're both saying the same thing. So get away from those things that are raising you up. Get away from those things that are giving you sunburn.
Yeah, that's one approach. And then there's I'll use my son he's 12, he's 12 and a half. You know, I had this conversation with him literally yesterday. It was like, Max is annoying. Max is doing everything to make me mad. Max, which is my other son, Max, right? Yeah. And I said, Alex, you totally are giving your power away, saying that Max is in charge of your feelings. Max is in charge of that. He's got the power to take mm-hmm. away your sense of peace, right? Now, mm-hmm. if a 12-year-old can get that, we all can certainly get that. If someone says something and there's something that happens inside of you, that's something that's happening inside of you. You know, you can still go, ouch, that didn't feel good. Someone says something, does something, you get bad news. That's where having a feeling of compassion, because let's face it, there are experiences here on planet Earth in these human experiences that just do not feel good. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are. It doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. My best friend, Dawn, I've known her since seventh grade, right? Her father just passed. He's 91. He's lived an incredible life, but her family is going through sorrow. They're grieving, right? We've all had that sense of grieving an animal or, you know, someone that we love. There's human experiences when someone's rude to you in your face or, you know, says something mean, they don't feel good. And so it's having the tools and learning what to do when that happens. And that's starting with compassion, because we can't forgive other people or have compassion for other people if we don't have compassion for ourselves. And I'm not talking about feeling sorry for ourselves, because mm-hmm. way too many of us are doing that all day, every day. And that's why we feel powerless. That's when we feel like we can't change our circumstances or that we, you know, can't make our life better, because we feel victim. No matter what I do, I can't seem to, you know, well, this is happening and that's happening. There's too much negativity. We could even blame the negativity. It's too much negativity around me to be positive, right? That's being powerless. What I'm talking about is coming from that point, right? Lack, abundance, and that point in the middle of gratitude. Well, compassion mm-hmm. always goes there too. If you can neutralize yourself with the feeling of having compassion for yourself, you can then be able to give compassion to others, because you can't give away what you don't have for yourself.
I love that. I think that is just so well put. You know, I want to talk a little bit more about obviously desires. And one of the things that you talk about that intrigued me was you talked about desires that seem superficial on the surface, but that can actually stem from something much deeper. Share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, things that we desire. So for me, it's always been purses, you know, shoes, and high-end purses and shoes. And for someone else, you might be going yawn, yawn, you know, I could care less about that. But for somebody else, it could be golf clubs. It could be, you know, boats, you know, whatever. It could be right. The latest technology, whatever kind of just gets you like goosed up. I mean, I see a Fendi bag and I'm like, oh, you know, like, and then I want to smell the leather. I mean, I've always been like that ever since I was a little girl dressing up for Easter with the little matching hat and the gloves and the little purse and the shoes, that, you know, just the whole thing. I loved it. I love dressing up. And so yet someone that didn't feel that that was right and feels that that's materialistic, which was my sister, could say things like, you're so superficial or you're so shallow, right? Because I liked these things and they got me going. Well, the things that get us going, it doesn't matter what forms they are in the material world, right? If they get us going, it's something that we can lean into. It could be it could be the guitar for someone collecting guitars, right?
Yeah.
We are in a, it's like Madonna said, we are in a, living in a material world, right? Yeah. And we're supposed to enjoy it. We're supposed to enjoy the things of this material world, enjoy our bodies, enjoy the instruments that we can play with, enjoy the things that we can do. And it's the mind, it's our upbringing, it's our, you know, programming that says that's wrong, right? Or that you can't do that. And when I, for example, the way I started the book is, and how this all came to me was, I remember going on a trip many, many years ago, 15 years ago, 14 years ago, with my husband and my mom and dad. It was before we were married, before we had kids. And we went to Venice. And I remember that feeling that just opened up in me, seeing these, I mean, store after store of Dolce & Gabbana and Dior and Fendi. And it, I mean, it was just like, I thought I died and went to heaven. It was like, oh. And I was buzzing around like a hummingbird going from store to store. And my husband, boyfriend at the time, was like, uh-oh, I can't afford you, right? And I had just started my coaching business. I had left corporate America. I'd been coaching for 20 years and or at this point, but you know, 5 years at that point. And I wanted to go full-time in my coaching business. And so there was no way for me to buy. It would make no sense for me to go and buy a purse like that. And so, but I said to him, I go, you don't have to afford me. I'll afford me. And I said, and I am going to come back here someday with you, maybe with our kids, who knows, but I am going to come back and I am going to allow myself to buy whatever I want in whatever store, just because I can, right? Because that will represent the type of success that I've achieved in helping people through my coaching. And so he was on board with that. And well, several years later, I had my business exploded and, you know, did amazing. And we had two children and lucky enough to have my parents alive. And I took my whole entire family on a Mediterranean cruise. And one of the spots was Venice. And it was just the most delightful day. You know, it was like in the morning, we got off the ship and it was my dad's birthday and we had cannolis and lattes, and they had a insane Marco Square. They had a band playing and they sung them happy birthday. And then the four of them went back on the ship and I stayed out with my husband. We went shopping and we had the most, I mean, I had the most glorious day. I've eaten pasta after and just have it. I mean, it'll be a day forever, I remember. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting back on the ship and I pulled out the bag that I decided to buy. And I'm holding this bag and I'm like, wow, this bag, having that desire, literally represents all the hundreds of thousands of people that I've helped and that my coaches have helped, because I've certified a lot of coaches. But the experience of what having an intention, holding that to that intention or to that desire without resistance, like who I became in the process of having that experience, that bag is just a symbol of that. And as I'm holding it, I heard my sister's voice go, that's so materialistic. And I went, why? Mm-hmm. What's the point? You know, it's like that saying, you want your cake and eat it too. Well, yeah, what's the point of having cake if you can't eat it?
I love it. We are talking with Christy Whitman. The book is The Desire Factor. And we're going to take a break. But Christy, when we come back in, you had mentioned about part of your feeling was that this was sort of a, you know, almost, you know, kind of like a reward or whatever. And you kind of tied it to the thousands and thousands of people that you've helped with your coaching business and things like that. So when we come back, I want to ask you, what are some of the teachings that have led these thousands of people to find their own success and prosperity? So for everybody out there, stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers Network.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
All right, we're back, and we are speaking with Christy Whitman. We are talking about the desire factor, and when we went to break, we talked a little bit about, I asked the question in regards to the teachings that have led thousands of people to find their own success and prosperity. So Christy, share with us some of those, and not only some of the teaching, but if you have some success stories, if for anybody that's listened to this show for any length of time knows, I love success stories.
Awesome. Well, I have so many to share. I wouldn't even know where to begin. But I found these universal laws 25 years ago. And I was in a place where, I was just in lack. Nothing I did, even though I accomplished a lot, it never felt like it was enough. And what I realized was I got drawn to meditation. And meditation as a daily practice opened me up to understand that I'm not my thoughts. I have thoughts, right? But I'm not my thoughts. And that I speak, right? I have words, and that words have power, and that emotions are energy, and that I was spent years and years and years stuffing down my anger for not getting what I wanted, or at least perceiving that I didn't get what I want. So I always was angry inside. Always inside, I was in a fight with somebody. I didn't feel good. And it was around that time that my sister chose to commit suicide. And yeah. And it was, I could see myself going down that road, and that woke me up. Mm-hmm. And I just delve into learning more about why are some people happy and why are not others aren't, and what is this? And what I realized and what it came across is that there are universal laws, and that when we resist them or don't know of them, when we're working against them, it mm-hmm. creates more of what we don't want. And when it's like, kind of like if you're going to go play baseball for the first time and no one's ever taught, you've never seen it, no one ever taught you the rules, and you go out to the, you know, pitcher's mound and they're like, okay, Alan, the guy on the mound is going to throw you the ball. You just have to swing at it, right? And so you actually swing for beginner's luck, hit it. It goes, and everyone's like yelling, you run, right? And you're like, run where?
Where?
And you run to third base because you're running, right? You're going to be out. So it just makes sense to know the rules of the game. And that's what I just started understanding, how to attune to the universal laws, and literally my life, and just started to transform. And then about 5 years later, my first book came through me, and it's really about understanding these universal laws. So the universal law that most people talk about and most people have understood is the law of attraction, mm-hmm. right? That's where I started applying that information, became one of the experts in it, all those kind of things. But the law that really needs to be understood by everybody is the law of sufficiency and abundance. And it's the law that we were talking about. And because when you shift your mindset, when you shift your field, when you shift your expectations from you can't do something, or that you should do something, or that life doesn't work out for you, or that you'll just try, you know, these are very disempowering ways of being. And when you start to shift, when you pivot, when you understand that you're the awareness of the thought and that you can choose thoughts, then you start choosing thoughts that actually feel good. Thoughts like, you know, all things going to work out. There's always going to be a solution, right? Things are going to reveal itself. I totally have faith that this will work out. When we have more of that way of thinking, it's not being Pollyanna and like, oh, positive thinking. It's literally coming from your whole being like that, having the experience where it's not just mind chatter. Affirmations are great. There's a time to use them where they're really, really powerful and really, really useful. A lot of times, though, affirmations are just like you know, they just roll off of us. They don't get in because mm-hmm. our whole beingness isn't focused on what we want to create, what we want, why we want something, how we ultimately want to feel in our lives. And then to understand that that feeling state is now. It's not, we've all been raised, a lot of us, right? If we want to feel successful, we have to go do something in order to feel the success. But you could feel success right now. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different outside in approach, you know, inside out approach to creating life. So understanding that when you feel bad, you have a thought, you have a belief system that is telling you that you can't have something, or that you're not enough of something, or that there's too many of something. It's coming from a perspective of lack. And when you can pivot off the lack to into abundance, just looking for what the positive aspects are, that helps you pivot out of lack. That starts to feel good. So you wanted a success story. I had a client who, this is just the imprint. Her parents were always in debt, even though they made a lot of money. And they, you know, doesn't matter how much money you make if you're spending it, right? So had a good life, but they were always in that struggle energy of money and always in that energy of debt with money. And she started working with me and the council, because I channel the council, and she literally started releasing those things that she got imprinted with, the thoughts, the beliefs, right? And started shifting them. Within less than a week, she herself was in $140,000 in debt. Within less than a week, it was like she literally got money that came from places she wasn't even aware of. And that is like, I've had clients, I mean, for years, story after story, that when they release a money block, for example, and it could just be a thought, it could be a perspective, all of a sudden money starts flowing in, either from the government or from insurance they weren't aware of, or, you know, it comes from places they're not even, it would be like, well, wait, I didn't get a promotion, right? It opens up in portals that you just wouldn't even dream about. And, you know, people that have worked with myself in the council, shifting their thoughts of aging, for example, mm-hmm. Started increasing their health. I had a woman that's 70 years old. She started working with the council and I about a year and a half ago. And she had really bad digestion and started working on the energy of the digestion because it was all emotions that she wouldn't allow herself to process and live and experience. Mm-hmm. She processed it as energy and then went to her doctor the next, I don't know, a couple weeks later. And the doctor was like, what are you doing? Like that levels are completely different. And then so kept following her. She lost like 35 pounds, has no digestion problems now. She doesn't even have to take blood pressure medication. Everything's back to where it needs to be and stable. So, I mean, whether it's money or health or relationships, I mean, I could tell you stories or even personal ones.
Oh, I love that. And in fact, and as you were saying that, when you brought up the part about health, about 4 years ago, I decided to start aging backwards. So I've been aging backwards. And it was interesting because I was on a podcast and I was about to speak. I was speaking to a group and I was being brought in to, so I didn't know anybody in this group except the person that had brought me in. And so, you know how you just like we did for about 10 minutes before the show, excuse me, you know, we had a little bit of time to talk. Well, as they were getting together, I was listening, but I didn't want people watching me. So I just punched up my picture, you know how you can do that, right? Yeah, so your picture's right there instead of you live, but I could still hear everything. The show wasn't going to start for 7 minutes. So I was fiddling around with paperwork or doing whatever. And I hear a guy say, oh, look at that picture of the guest. You know, he's probably one of those guys that puts a picture up of him from 20 years ago. And when he actually comes up, he's going to be, you know, he's going to look completely different or whatever. And then somebody else says, no, actually, I met him, you know, some time ago, you know, or whatever. And, you know, maybe you're right. That is kind of what he looked like, you know, back then or whatever, right? So they're having this conversation, not knowing I can hear it.
Right.
Like this. So, it, you know, she does the announcement and she, you know, and so I pop it up to where I'm on. She does the introduction, you know, of me and stuff. Said, hi, you know, and like this, and just want everybody to know that this is really me. It's not, you know, and the picture was really me too, you know, just about.
Were they mortified?
6 or 8 months ago, I could look on the look on those two guys' face was like, oh my God.
Busted.
but then I started laughing and I said, no, that's okay. I said, I understand completely. I said, you know, this was a couple of years ago when I was on this. So I said, you know, about 2 years ago, I decided to start aging backwards. So that might be why you would think that, you know, or anyway, but yes, you know, it affects us in so many different ways. It can be in our health. It can be in whatever we allow in. But one of the areas that I think is a problem for a lot of people, and maybe more so now, is how do we get past the deserving part? There's a lot of things going on out there that is trying to make people believe that success is bad, success mm-hmm. is evil, we somehow don't deserve it. How can we get through that one? Or, you know, whatever, if something's happened in our life, people, they, you know, they go through a divorce or they go through some sort of trauma that maybe makes them feel less deserving of what is available to them.
Yeah. Well, here's the beauty of that. That's where desire comes in, right? Because if someone desires to get beyond that and to create something different, and to feels like, I feel like I don't deserve, but I desire to have that. That desire is the opening for them to move forward with that. And, you know, when you understand where the desire is coming from, so the whole reason for the desire factor book, it's like, it's you co-creating with a bigger part of you that wants more for you than you want even for yourself. And mm-hmm. it's a larger part of you calling you forth to who you can become and what you can experience. So if you are having the desire, then that desire, and you allow that desire, it's going to move you forward. And that's where, you know, unwinding the very funny human things that I, you know, I've been doing this work a long time. So I see that with a lot of people, went through it myself, the core issues of, am I enough? And do I deserve? And am I safe? And, you know, those different, am I going to be loved? You know, am I going to die? Like those very grounded, very childlike, yet very real, mm-hmm. concrete things that we have. And as we are a child, you know, I had a perfect opportunity with this about a year ago with my son, Alex, who's my oldest. And he said to me, I was tucking him into bed, and it was during COVID, everyone was homeschooling and all that. And I said to him, I go, do you know how much you're loved? And he goes, by you? And I go, what does that mean? And he goes, daddy doesn't love me. And I go, oh my gosh, that is so not true. Why do you think that? He's so hard on me when it comes to school. And I said, do you know why he's so hard on you when he comes to school? And he goes, because he doesn't love me. And I said, no, because he does love you. He knows that you have more potential. He was kind of slacking mm-hmm. off and right. He wants you to live up to your potential because he loves you. And so I started talking about all these things about, you know, how his dad shows him that he loves him, gets you Subway when you want it, takes you for play dates, and he does, you know, mm-hmm. takes you to soccer. And then he went, oh yeah, he really does love me. Had I not had that conversation with Alex, he would have had a decision point in his mind of, I am only loved by my mom, or dad mm-hmm. doesn't love me, right? Which creates a barrier, which creates an attraction point, right? And then the experience becomes, well, she loves me, but he doesn't. He's so hard on me. Why doesn't he love me? And that's how we get started from a very young mind. When we don't understand bigger concepts, we make decisions that are not true, and they imprint us, and then literally create, like if you think of it from an energy perspective, it's like spirals of energy that get right. blocked. Mm-hmm. And that vortex of energy calls forth experiences. So someone says, I can't trust women because, you know, someone just got betrayed by their best friend stealing their boyfriend. As a teenager, they could say, I can't trust women. And so now it becomes a block where any woman that comes at them, they're like, nope, I can't trust women. right? So that becomes the block, but that block is just energy. Mm-hmm. That block is just a new decision point so that it releases the energy. It's like, those blocks like kind of dam up the energy. And when you release the dam, release the block, energy flood and thrive. And we understand that we actually do deserve. I mean, when you think about it from a biological perspective, right? From man and woman, sperm and egg, for that sperm, I mean, what is trillions or I don't even know the count. Yeah. One sperm got into the egg. You're pretty special. You're already the winner.
Yeah.
You know, and then from a spiritual perspective, right? It's like it said that for every body, there's like 10,000 souls or something like that, that want to take a body. Well, hello, here you are. So biology says you're the winner. Spiritually, you're the winner. Like, you know, you are deserving,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. I know. I love that. And I've used that with young people and said, you know, you realize you're already a genetic winner.
Exactly.
Now, while we're talking about kids, we have a question that has come in from a listener. And again, I want to thank those that take the time. And I know that we get a lot of questions that come in from teachers who are working during the day. So they send them in through other means or send them in the night before. This one reads, I am one of those teachers who believes in inspiring creativity in our youth and guiding them to discover their own paths and desires by following what they love to do. I was excited to read about your book as one of the challenges we face in these stressful times is encouraging our youth to seek wholesome abundance and success. Would the concepts of your book be easily translatable to students? And if so, what ages do you think would be appropriate? And this is from Sandra in California.
Sandra, I love that. And I love that question. You know what? I've been teaching my kids before they could even understand. I would have them doing affirmations. I had affirmation boards above their beds. And we would say, you are free. You are powerful, right? And then when they started speaking, we started having them say, I am powerful. I am free. So at any age, and there's so many different coaches that I've actually certified that go into either schools or, you know, and talk with parents and things on how to really bring this to your kids. I actually created an Enlightened Kid program years ago. It's no longer in print, where it was literally talking about these big spiritual concepts and bringing it down for kids because kids get it. They feel energy and they get excited when they're able to be creative and they want to be able to be heard and, you know, these kind of things. And this is what we're talking about is understanding mm-hmm. that everybody has free will and choice, even the little guys. And you can say, okay, you know, you chose to do that. We always have choices. Where did that choice come from? Or when they do something proud, something they're proud of, or they do something really well, it's like, how do you feel about that? Right. So that they're going, how do I feel about what I just did? So it becomes an inner focus instead of, did you think I did so great? Because that's what kids always get. They're right. wanting that. But to teach them to go within and say, you know what? Good job. I did a great job. Right. So, yes, these principles are they're universal. They get them. And the more you can take them and apply them in your own life, bring them into your classroom, teach from them from a place of alignment and focus and, you know, joyful expectancy and the feeling of vibrationally having what you want, all of the principles that are in there. As you learn them and you apply them, you're going to be able to transmit that to them because that's what I do with my kids.
Well, and that was what I got from the book also was I got the feeling, and again, for you teachers out there, is that you know, most kids, once they're to a reading level, they could read this and get it. You know, it's written in such a way that I thought, you know, yes, they could. And for the ones, the very, very smaller kids, work on it yourself and then show them, you know, read it to them, you know, and stuff. So I think, yes, I think it would be an incredible benefit. In fact, this is the type of thing I'd like to see in all the schools. I mean, you know, let's have this as something that, you know, kindergarten, boom. This is one of the areas that we're going to build more independent thinking, more people that are focused on their own success, prosperity, and and have them focus on that at an early age. And unfortunately, I don't think that our public school system has the same focus right now.
Well, not right now, but we can keep holding the vision, because this is really what we're talking about. It's like when they can understand the basic life skills of how does the universe work, and that it's a vibrational universe, and that everything is energy, and that all energy carries a vibration, and that vibration goes out into the universe and gathers up other things that are like it. I mean, that's pretty important stuff to understand and know about. I mean, math of course is important, and learning how to read is important, you know, but there's some things that stuff like basic skills of how to be a human being and how to live in a world, right? I mean, they learn about gravity. Pretty important to learn about gravity. Well, let's just teach them a little bit more, like, you know, abundance and sufficiency, or, you know, law of detachment, law of surrender.
I think I'd love to have another conversation sometime off the air. You and I could have a conversation on this as to maybe why it isn't there. But I've looked up and I see that we're out of time. So what I want to do is there's a question that has come in and I'd like to ask it. But then what I'd like is that, can you do me a favor and just put the answer on your website? So for anybody out there, if you want to get the answer to this question, just go ahead and go to Christy's website, which she will give us in just a moment. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. It says, I would like to understand more about your definition of desire, and if you think it is possible people can get past obsessions that are harmful to themselves and or those around them. I was married to a man who used the term my heart's desire to frame how he wanted our lives to play out. And at the same time, he obsessively controlled and dominated our family, including our children. He said that it was always for our own good. I was finally able to break free of him, but not without damage and a great deal of anguish and guilt over breaking up our family. Can you speak to this type of situation? And this is from Wanda in New York. And again, unfortunately, you know, we've run out of time, but can you give your website and how people can go to that and find out all kinds of things about you, but also an answer for this one?
Absolutely. I think the quickest way to answer that question is, why don't I go onto Christy Whitman International Facebook fan page, and I can do a Facebook Live immediately after, so that at least you get that in. Yeah. So I will do that immediately after we wrap up. Perfect.
Great. Christy, thank you so much. I can't wait for us to talk again. I think you bring so much value and so much joy to so many people. And I'm just thankful that, number one, that you came on the show, but more importantly, that you're doing this for so many people. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And for everybody out there, please tune in next Monday when we are joined by the author of Open Skies, My Life as Afghan's First Female Pilot. And I want you to know, to me, this could not be more timely, as the world faces such dire reports about what's going on in the Afghanistan situation, that I think having somebody that has lived in that region is going to be able to, I think, be very enlightening. And for everybody out there, please visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network, or you can subscribe through the show through, again, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, BeatChu, HugeTube, and many other popular podcasts. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It really helps us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. For everybody out there, please be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain, no mercy. Go to www.martyscobracove.com.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.